Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Final!
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah.
Time for another edition of the Coach's Corner. Talk high school basketball today. Last night on our sister station, KRPX 95.3, the Peak, the Carbon Dinos suffering a 2-point heartbreaking loss at home to the Union Cougars. What a well-played game. One of those games where both teams just played their hearts out. Unfortunately for Carbon, they come out on the wrong end of the scoreboard. Joining us right now to talk a bit about that and more, we have head coach Kyle Wilson over the phone right now. Coach, great to get you back on today. Thank you.
It's good to be here.
Coach, last night, heartbreaking loss falling to the Union Cougars in double overtime by 2 points. I mean, I know that there's silver lining you can take from everything, right? I mean, there's positives you can build off of, but the fact is this one does sting a little bit.
Yeah, you know, this one, I watched my guys work their butt off for 40 minutes going in, you know, with the double overtime game. And watching this team work their ass off, wow. Edit that one. Worked their butt off for 40 minutes, and end up having to walk off the court with a loss. It's hard. It's hard, you know, and you can't go in the locker room after that and cheer them up in any way. You know, they're heartbroken because they put everything they had into that game and still came out, you know, on the losing end.
I do believe, though, Coach, it is falling in line with a string of basketball where this team has played much better. I mean, you and I talked about the Steve Hodson Cancer Classic, beating Parowan and beating Panguitch, and then getting a victory over Mazer Prep last week. We can get rid of the Emory game. That was just there were a lot of variables that have to be considered with that game as well. I know Derek Hillam didn't play in that game. There was no Ty Anderson. So if you throw the Emory game out, I mean, really, over the last three games, this team has played much improved basketball.
Yeah, we really have. And, you know, yesterday we still didn't have Ty Anderson. So, ball handling, was down and diminished. And so I had to, relied a lot on Derek to handle the ball. But at the same time, Colin Lewis played really well yesterday. Finally started, putting the ball in the hoop a little more. And I had some young guys step up and play really well. I mean, Noah Bradford, a sophomore, started for me. And had 11 points, so I had a lot of guys do things yesterday. Yesterday was an all around team game. Braxton Bennett had 10 rebounds, 9 points, hit a three in regulation to tie it up to send it to the first overtime. So I had a lot of guys do a lot of things yesterday, and especially those young guys. I'm still a firm believer. We're one more game until we're halfway through the region. But playing, having this effort and having those young guys step up and show that they can play with those older guys, and the older guys start trusting those younger guys even more and more. It's going to benefit us. In the second half of region play.
Going back over the last three games, Coach, I thought, and we can even throw the Emory game into here. We'll start with Mazer Prep. I believe Carbon was outscored by 10 in the third quarter against Mazer. I thought the team played really well against Emory for most of the first half. If I'm not mistaken, there's 3 minutes left in the first half, and it's an 8-point game. And then the third quarter, things got out of control. And if we go to last night's game, this is a team, again, that you guys had control, but Union outscores Carbon 16-5 in the third quarter. I don't know. What do you contribute to that, if anything at all, Coach? Is that just sheer coincidence?
Yeah, that's a $1 million question. if anybody out there's got any ideas that are, I'll take it at this point in time. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a weird. Sometimes there's statistics in sports that have no rhyme or reason to them. They just happen. And so I wasn't sure if that's kind of along the lines of, yeah, it's a coincidence. You know, it's a four-quarter game. At some point in time, averages play a factor, or if this team just is a little sluggish in the third quarter. I mean, I don't know what to contribute to that either.
Yeah, I don't know. And it's, we're not changing, you know, like lineup or anything like that. You know, we do make adjustments at halftime, offensively and defensively. So it's not like we're just going out there and trying to do the exact same thing over and over and over. You know, we try to make adjustments that are putting our athletes in the best possible scenarios to be successful. And, yeah, I don't have an answer, to be honest with you. It's this is one of the more crazy things. You know, usually you can, you know, find something, you know, every so often, you know, I got a bad first quarter, or, you know, bad second, bad third, bad fourth. But, yeah, ours, for the most part, has been that third quarter. I mean, if we want to go back through the books and look at, you know, our bad third quarters that cost us games, we're probably going to find quite a few of them this year. So it is frustrating as a coach, and I'm sure it's frustrating as a player, but we still need to figure out what we can do to you know, try to come out aggressive and you know, us go on a run in the third quarter instead of letting somebody else go on a run in the third quarter.
Well, Kim, we're being joined right now by Coach Kyle Wilson of the Carbondale boys basketball team. Coach, I think the bye is coming up at a perfect time for this team. Derek Hillam did return to action last night. You already mentioned Ty Anderson, who did not play again. Just having a couple of extra days to get healthy, I'm sure it's what this team needs.
You know, it is. It is, and it's going to be good, you know, good not having to travel or not having to, you know, have guys, you know, get beat up during a game. And, you know, it's going to be good for Derek. It's going to be good for Ty. You know, I got John Zamatakis, another senior who was out last night, who, you know, he's got a chronic ankle thing going on where he's trying to get that healed. And, you know, it just limits our bench. It limits what we're able to do rotation-wise. And, you know, sometimes we're just trying to piece some stuff together. And it's difficult. You know, these guys are fighting. It's like I said earlier, I got some young guys that are really stepping up and showing some heart. You know, Caleb Nelson, he got a little foul trouble last night. I'm not going to blame that on him, but I'm also not going to tell you who I'm blaming it on, but that's okay. But he's playing the best basketball that I've seen him play. He's being aggressive. I mean, you know, Emory game, he had 19 points and 16 rebounds, 10 offensive rebounds. So he's playing some of the best basketball I've seen him play in his career so far. But it's, you know, we're still trying to piece stuff together. You know, you get a little bit of foul trouble. You know, last night we were, you know, Colin Lewis in foul trouble early. Caleb was in foul trouble early. So we're down two big bodies who rebound the ball and who could score and who are good defenders on the perimeter and underneath. So it's that's when you got to rely on these young guys to step up, and they did. But it's hard to just replace a Colin Lewis or a Caleb Nelson or a Ty Anderson or a John Zamatakis. But we got to try to do it as a team, not just, you know, one individual.
How close to 100% is Derek Hillam?
I honestly, depends on who you're asking. If you're asking me or if you're asking him. you know what? Last night, I'd say he's pretty close to 100%. He got tired last night because out of a 40-minute game, he played 38 minutes and 27 seconds. Honest with you. He played 38 minutes and 27 seconds. He sat out for He played 39 minutes and 27 seconds. He sat out whatever the difference is, 43 seconds, you know, like whatever. I think that's what, yeah. So he sat out 43 seconds of last night's game. And, you know, especially like coming back to, I'm missing my point guard with Anderson. So ball handling, you know, you're not having as much. But he's going to go out there and give me everything he's got. You know, Derek is, and you could kind of tell by the end of the game that you know, he was starting to drag a little bit. But he's going to find a gear and be able to give you everything he's got. And, you know, a 50% tired Derek Hillam is better than most players out there. So I'll take it any day of the week.
Sure, absolutely. Coach, they always use the term next man mentality, next man up in sports. The younger kids had to kind of have that mentality, be it against Emory or right now even with Ty Anderson being down. Who are some of the younger kids that you have felt have really made a big impact at the varsity level? I thought Noah Bradford had his moments against Emory as well, and you know, he had his moments last night as well. So there are some younger kids that are making that are making an impact.
Yeah, you know, Noah Bradford, you know, started against Emory and started against Union last night for us, and he started to get some minutes. He started really showing what he could do down in the Hodson Classic, and you know what? I knew he was a good. I knew he had talent. I knew he was a good basketball player, and he's grown. And when he gets into those older guys, you know, you play with guys like Derek Hillam, it makes you better. You play with guys like Colin Lewis, it's going to make you better. And the one thing that Noah has going for him is that he is going to be full speed all the time. He's going to be all over the floor. He's going to be diving. He's going to be hustling. You know, he gets those hustle points. And he's a pretty smart basketball player. And he's got a decent IQ with the game. And I hope I'm not insulting anybody by saying this, but I told one of my assistant coaches, I'm like, you know what? He's just dumb enough out there as a sophomore that he can knock down some threes from the outside too. You know, not saying he's dumb, but he's just got that competitive mentality where, you know what, if he's open, he's going to shoot it. He doesn't care what level he's playing. If he's open, he's going to shoot it, and he's shooting to make it. So, you know, and a couple other, you know, one other guy, Preston Condi. You know, he's new to our program this year. You know, he got a lot of ball in the fall with us. And he shows a lot of emotion. He's been around basketball a very long time, and he shows a lot of emotion. He's got a pretty decent feel for the game, and he's knocked down some shots for us the past couple games. And you know, Caleb Winfrey, who can come in and be an offensive threat right off the bench, and you know, give me a little ball handling, from time to time. But those three guys right there. You know, and there's one or two other guys that just I haven't had the opportunity to get them in yet, and I need to see what they can do for us and how they can help us out, because I'm sure they can.
Yeah, it's one of those situations where 32 minutes, it's not a lot.
No, you know, you start, you know, that's what I struggle with a little bit with high school basketball. By the time you have to have a very, very good rotation if you're going to try to get a lot of guys playing time. You know, foul troubles is sometimes the only way that guys get in and get to play at the varsity level. You know, in my opinion, the game needs to be a little longer. You know, give us some 10-minute quarters or 20-minute halves like the college game. And I think you'd see a lot more success from some teams that, you know, maybe don't have as much success. You know, I know a couple games we get into a rhythm and then, you know, quarter's over. Or we start to make a run, you know, we're battling back in the fourth, and then next thing you know, you're playing the foul game because you're running out of time, where, you know, if you had a minute or 2 minutes more, you could make a run at it and up the chances of winning, you know. And at the same time, you can make the argument, you know, sometimes I'm glad there's only, you know, 8 minutes a quarter because, yeah, you know, at the end of the game, sometimes we're up and we're starting to throw it away, but they run out of time. So, you know, it's both ways. But, you know, it's hard to sub guys and hard to get a lot of playing time when you have, you know, five seniors and a couple juniors and some, you know, one or two sophomores that, you know, that are playing really well and they're in, you know, most of the time. So.
Well, a couple of big games next week, Coach. Home contest against ALA on Wednesday, and then a road tilt on the road against Delta next week. Looking at where this team is at right now in region play, from here on out, every league game is monumental.
Yeah, you know, every league game is huge. I'm still going into it, and, you know, being honest, I look at every league game we're going to play from here on out to win a full basketball game. You know, and when we played, you know, Delta before, and Providence Hall before, it's the score really didn't reflect how close the game was, and you know, a couple little things here and there, and you know, we're on top or we're right there giving ourselves a chance to win. But every game is important. You know, you're right, especially with our end goal with trying to, you know, get that first round playoff game and give ourselves a shot to, you know, go see what we can do at the state tournament. And, you know, I'm still sticking by what I said earlier in the year with this basketball team. We're talented, and you know, I just wish we would have started playing harder earlier. You know, it's kind of hard when you go mid-season-ish before you can kind of start understanding what it takes to play hard. And, you know, we're getting there now with, you know, 1 through 10 on the players. But I really think if we keep going and they keep making the adjustments that they need to make while we're in practice, that, you know, we're going to be successful. But it's up to these guys. We got to keep doing it. You know, they got to keep wanting to win, and that's what I'm trying to instill in them. They got to do whatever it takes to win.
Well, hopefully, Coach, we can get the ship rolling in the right direction next week. I'm always very appreciative of the time, Coach, and I know we'll talk again real soon. Thank you.
Well, thanks for having me.
Again, that's Coach Kyle Wilson of the Carbondale Boys basketball team. They'll return to the court next Wednesday as they take on ALA. We've got a break for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up. When we return, I want to move over to talk MMA. When we return, we'll be joined by Cody Bunderson, great friend of mine, great friend of the show. We're going to talk local and national MMA. Haven't done that in a while, and it's coming up next here on Drive Time Sports. Reporting from the KOAL Newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini with a look at local sports. And we will begin with boys high school basketball, where last night the Emory Spartans earned their first Region 15 victory of the season, topping the Manti Templars 74-65 to move to 1-2 in division play. The Spartans were led by Brody Tuttle, who poured in a season-best 23 points. Brody was dynamic from the get-go. He scored the first 9 for Emory, leading the team in points for the win. Kyson Stilson contributed 22, and Brax Jensen finished with 13. Emory and Manti were tied 31-31 at the end of the first half, but it was Emory that outdueled Manti 21-13 in the third quarter, and Emory also outscored Manti 22-21 in the fourth to preserve the win. Manti was led in the setback by Mason Thompson, who scored 17 points. Dallin Cox and Grady Thompson both contributed 12. The win for Emory moves them ahead of Manti in the 3A Region 15 standings. Emory will have an opportunity to move to 2-2 on Friday when they travel on the road to meet North Sam Pete. Tip-off for that game is set for 7 p.m. Live coverage will begin on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 a.m. beginning at 6:30. We move over to Carbon High School, where last night the Carbon Dinos suffered a double overtime heartbreaking loss to the Union Cougars, 69-67. The loss dips Carbon to 1-4 in region play. Senior Derek Hillam returned from an injury to score 21 points and accumulate 4 rebounds to go along with 4 assists. Colin Lewis dropped in 17 to go along with his 6 rebounds. The Dinos' third quarter woes continued as they were outscored 16-5 coming out of halftime. Carbon has now been outscored in the third quarter 68-26 in the last 3 games. Union improved to 3-3 in region play as they were led by seniors Reed Price, who scored 24 points, and Logan Gilman with 19. Carbon will now have some time off as they will not take to the court until January 16th when they go toe-to-toe with American Leadership at home. Tip-off for that game is set for 7 p.m., and of course you will be able to follow it on KRPX 95.3 The Peak, and also our website, CastleCountryRadio.com. We stick with high school basketball, and tonight the Emory Lady Spartans will return to the court as they play host to the North Sam Pete Hawks at 7 p.m. Emory has been able to dominate the competition in Region 15 play so far this season. They sit a perfect 3-0. Emory is fresh off of a dominating victory over the Manti Templars on Tuesday, picking up another win by over 30 points. The Lady Spartans, following tonight's contest, will continue league play next Tuesday and Thursday. Stay tuned to Castle Country Radio. We will bring you the results from tonight's game as soon as it becomes available. We step away from the high school basketball court, and tonight, the Carbon Dino wrestling team will return to the mats as they travel on the road to meet the Juab Wasps. This will be the first of what's going to be a very busy weekend for the wrestling team. They will travel on the road to Vernal this weekend for a Friday and Saturday competition. Carbon High School senior wrestler Connor Fawcett was yesterday's featured athlete on KOAL's Drive Time Sports. We talked to Fawcett about the wrestling season and what it takes to be a competitive wrestler at the 3A classification.
It's a lot of pressure because being the coach's son, everyone expects you to perform, but it's also really nice because you've always got your coach there to help you out, but you also have your dad there to kind of just coach you along and it's good. Trying to spend as much time this season to get better also, and just really putting in as much effort as possible to be the best wrestler that I can be.
Again, that's Corbin High School wrestler Connor Fawcett. You can view this complete interview by visiting KOALITV.com. You can find more news, sports, and community events at CastleCountryRadio.com. Reporting from the KOAL Newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to tonight's main event.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, doing things a little bit different format on the show today. I wanted to get Coach Kyle Wilson on, and so we started the show today with the Coach's Corner interview. We're going to work backwards, but I do want to talk local and national MMA. And kind of break up the monotony of the football talk around this time of the year. Of course, we're going to be talking a lot about the playoffs on the show tomorrow, but joining us right now in the studio, we have Cody Bunderson, owner and coach at Fierce MMA and Fitness. I want to talk about what's happening on the local end, and also we'll dive into the national talk as well. There's a fun conversation to be had there. Cody, it's always a pleasure to get you in. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Jordan. Great to be here.
Always fun to talk with you, that's for sure. I know there is a lot going on right now at the gym. There's always a lot going on at the gym.
Yeah.
But you guys have January deals, new year, new deals. So go ahead and talk to us.
Yeah,
about
new year,
those.
New deals. When we first did our re-grand opening a little while ago, we had some $30 grandfathered in. Just month to month, no contracts. We're doing that for the entire month of January, so you can come down and for $30 get grandfathered in at that $30 as long as you stay paying your monthly fees. We have a 6-month contract at $30 as well, and that first month will be free, so you can train a whole month for free by signing up for a 6-month contract. We have some annual passes at for $300 that'll get you an annual pass, which basically gives you $25 a month, the same rate that the police officers and first responders and teachers get. And then we have some deals for kids and also adult MMA students. So the first 10 kids, which we have only have a few spots left for this deal, but they can come in, and when they sign up, they get a free pair of gloves or a free pair of shin pads when they sign up for the classes as well. And same thing with the adults. If you come and sign up for our MMA program, then you'll get a free pair of gloves or shin pads as well.
Big deal.
Yeah, big deal.
It's a very big deal.
Yeah, so, you know, these gloves are, you know, saves you an extra, you know, $50, $60 for gloves or shin pads that we're throwing in for free for this month.
And, of course, kids, you always do stuff for the kids as well. They get a week free, right?
I mean,
they want to come down and check it out.
Yep, year-round. So we always, you know, a lot of times, you know, you go into different programs or whatever sport it is, you go and sign up, you know, you don't. Kids may not like it, and then, you know, you're out that fee. So we come and we let the kids try a week worth of classes, always for free, see how they like it, see how the parents like it. You know, they can sit and they're welcome to watch. And then after that, if they want to sign up, it's completely up to them.
That's fantastic. And again, that's at Fierce MMA and Fitness. Cody, how does one go about getting more information on the children's classes, the adult classes, just everything you guys have going on? Because outside of the classes, you can also just go in and lift.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we have our 24-hour lifting facility. We have our sauna. You know, with that full facility, a lot of people just like to come and work out on their own. Some people enjoy the classes. Some people, you know, like to do their own thing. So, you know, for that $30 a month, you can come, have 24-hour access day or night, and come in and work out and go sit in the sauna after. And but you can get more information at our Facebook page, just at Fierce MMA and Fitness, or by calling our number at 435-630-0848. Or just stop by at the gym, 1695 South Highway 10, just right behind the Jones and DeMille Engineering Building.
Let's move away from the classes and what's happening at Fierce MMA and Fitness, and let's talk about some of the events. Of course, Fierce Fighting Championship, you guys have had a couple of events that have just been hot. Now you guys are rolling out the championship of the Lightweight Grand Prix Tournament, and that's right around the corner.
Yeah, yes, sir. March 2nd, we're actually doing our Grand Prix finale up in Salt Lake City at the Utah State Fair Park. We've been up there once before, and of course, you guys were there with us. And you know, it's we decided to do this one up in Salt Lake City because of the two finalists that are up there, all the friends of the family up there. There's a lot of hype around this right here, and just as far as travel wise, you know, it makes sense for the two finalists who are in the Grand Prix finals, Tiago Alves and Bobby King. You know, $7,500 on the line for this fight for these guys, and you know, it's going to be a fantastic event. We'll be releasing all the fights here over the next week, but there's a lot of good fights. Blanco will be our local fighter here. He'll be defending his lightweight amateur belt, and a lot of good fights coming up on that card.
You were just talking about the purse, $7,500 for the winner of the Lightweight Grand Prix Championship. You had to sign a couple of big checks last time it was here.
Yeah,
right? A couple of finish bonuses.
Yep, yeah, the finish bonus. So they, like I said, there's a $2,500 finish bonus on the line. So, you know, there's added incentive there to go and actually finish the fight, whether it's KO, TKO, or submission. So it's going to be an exciting night for all the fight fans.
Yeah, there's no doubt. As far as the other card, you mentioned Blanca, other fights on the card. Anybody else official yet for this card?
Not official as far as from our gym. We're seeking out opponents for a couple of guys. But as of right now, Blanca will be the only one on that card.
Again, we're being joined right now by Cody Bunderson, again, a Fierce MMA and Fitness and owner of Fierce Fighting Championship. Let's talk about some of the other local fighters. I've seen a lot of hype building on social media. Mike Jones, who's well-known around this area, he's stepping back into the cage as well.
Yeah, Mike Jones, he's going to be the main event for promotion up in Logan called Mountain Force. He's going to fight a guy named Joe Miles, training out of Colorado. So it's going to be a good fight. The guy's appears to be a ground guy, a brown belt in jiu-jitsu. But Mike's super, super hard to take down. It's going to be, probably a bad night for this guy. It is going to be a bad night for this guy. Mike's training super hard. His conditioning is, he's peaking right at the right time. He actually went up a weight class this time. Usually he's been fighting at 170 pounds and went up to 185 this time, which I think it's gonna bode very well for Mike. I think in some of his previous fights, you had seen a little bit of extra fatigue set in earlier on. I attribute that very much sort of that weight cut, cutting, down from 200 pounds when he's already very lean at 200 pounds. He was always in great shape, but that weight cut was always killing him. And so he's healthy, he's strong at 185, and he's going to be a very mean dude come January 19th.
Well, and it's a crucial fight for Mike.
Yeah.
I mean, really, if we look at the way the last, 3 or 4 years have gone for Mike, he needs his fight. I mean, it's there's a lot of urgency, I'm sure.
Yeah. And I think, we just kind of got back to the drawing board, focusing on some basics, working on his assets. He's got really good hands. He's very athletic, got great kicks. His takedown defense is world class. And, we're going to keep his fight on the feet. He has the option. He has great wrestling to take this fight to the ground and get some ground and pound in if we want to. Don't sleep on his submission game as well, as we've been working on that as well. And, he's a complete fighter. And, I think for the first time in a long time, he's having fun while he's doing it too. He needed to get back to kind of do his roots and to, why he got into the sport to begin with. And, we're working hard, but we're having fun while we're doing it. And I know this fight is going to be, Mike's going to be a different animal this fight.
Would you rather be in the cage or would you rather be cornering? Like, if you had to pick between the two, because it seems like you have a lot of fun when you're cornering.
Yeah, I love cornering. When I'm cornering, when I'm a fight fan, when I'm just sitting back watching the fights, no cornering or anything like that. I mean, I get nervous as hell watching, especially my guys step in and fight. I get the butterflies, but when I'm cornering, I kind of get focused in as if I'm in, as if it's me fighting out there. As a fight fan, when I sit back and I watch some of my guys fight or some of my friends fight, I'm like a nervous wreck. But when I actually am in the corner, I can be in control of certain things. And, my job is to keep my fighter focused, keep him under control, give little tips here and there to read some things that I might be seeing for an opening. But I remain pretty, calm and collected when I'm in the corner. So
when you talk about being a fan, and for those who know Cody, then you're a fan of mixed martial arts. You're a student of the game. I got to move to the national scene, and I want you to give me your uncut opinion on John Jones in the UFC.
John Jones, him as a person over the last, 3, 4, 5 years, not a big fan of him just because of the things that's taken, all the extracurricular stuff that's not focused on him being a martial artist. All the steroids, the drugs, the alcohol, the hit and runs and things like that. Not a fan of that. Is the guy probably the most talented fighter at every step inside of the ring? Probably. He's a phenomenal athlete. There's all the stuff between the picograms and, all the stuff coming back up as far as, residual things showing up in his body. After you do your research, and it appears that, I don't believe that he was, using this go around from a scientific standpoint, it appears that that was just traced, you know, amounts of stuff from that he had taken. Now, has he taken it before? Yeah. Was he probably using, you know, saying he had a tainted supplement? I think a lot of fighters go and try to use that as an excuse. They go and they actually take the steroids and then they blame it on a tainted supplement. And then they try to ask for mercy through USADA and through the athletic commissions. In my honest opinion, do I think that John was at consciously taking steroids at one point? Yeah, absolutely.
No question.
No question
asked. There's no question.
No question. You know, saying, oh, I was taking this product, I didn't know it was tainted. BS. BS. So you have to respect his abilities and the things that he does inside of the cage. Outside of the cage, not a big fan. But it, you know, appears that, you know, everybody makes mistakes. It appears that right now John Jones appears to be more humble and on a better path, but only time will tell. And, you know, there's always going to, he had the potential to be undoubtedly, you know, the GOAT.
Mm-hmm.
But now people, you know, you're always going to have that, well, he did this, he did this, he did this, you know, he did steroids and this. And it kind of just leaves that question up in the air. I don't know, puts a little asterisk next to it, you know, the Mark McGuire's, the things like that, that, you know, the Barry Bonds, the Alec Rodriguez's of taking these supplements and did, you know, how much did that play into factor?
It's disheartening. And I'll tell you why it's disheartening. Because being a boxing fan, we've gone 100 years wanting a sanctioning body, an elite sanctioning body,
yeah,
right? Where you control the best fighting the best. And we've never had that in the sport of boxing. MMA has that with the UFC. And at what point in time do you look at what John Jones has done and say, this guy has forfeited his right to be a part of the elite sanctioning body in the sport?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, look, Mike Tyson, I know people love Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson forfeited his right.
Yeah.
That night in 1996 when he bit Evander Holyfield's ear, he forfeited his right, in my opinion, to ever be a part of a major prized fight promotion ever again.
Yeah.
But boxing doesn't have a sanctioning body. MMA does. So how much of this falls on Dana White?
A lot. A lot. I mean, that's he's a cash cow for him. You know, mm-hmm. people love the drama. People love the Conor McGregor aspect. People love, you know, all the WWE extracurricular activity that happens. Like, it draws people into the sport. It makes things entertaining. It makes a, you know, a real life soap opera. But then you get to see the guys fight at the end. You know, Dana White, he's never going to get rid of him. He's a megastar for him.
That's wrong.
And
it is wrong.
It's not fair to the other fighters who go out there and, you know, do it the right way. They mm-hmm. do it cleanly. They do it safely. You know, going putting this stuff into your body, giving these guys rocket fuel, and then unleashing them against another fighter, that's dangerous.
Do you have a soft spot in your heart then for Daniel Cormier when you look at everything that has happened with John Jones?
Oh, I would love nothing more to see, you know, Daniel Cormier, you know, win that fight. Daniel Cormier will never win that fight against John Jones.
No, it's not going to happen.
But
you develop a soft spot in your heart for a guy like that.
Yeah, for sure. Like, you know, he's the people's champion. You know, mm-hmm. he took a, you know, an Olympic level wrestler, you know, a guy that's humble, the guy that's, you know, won two division belts, you know, without cheating, without having to do all this extra stuff outside of it just to draw extra attention.
It's a fun conversation to have. We could probably spend a whole hour just talking about this particular incident, you know, this particular topic. But Cody, before I let you go, please give the number out one more time and the location where people can find more information about Fierce MMA and Fitness, especially with the children's classes.
Yeah, for sure. Check out our Facebook page, Fierce MMA and Fitness. You can follow us on Instagram as well at Fierce MMA. 1695 South Highway 10, just right behind the Jones and DeMille Engineering Building. You can take a left right there at the veterinary clinic. And, you know, or you can call us at 435-630-0848.
Cody, I always appreciate the time. I look forward to doing it again real soon.
Sounds good, brother. Thanks.
Cody Bunderson, again, of Fierce MMA and Fitness here in Price. Having a little fun talking some national MMA, but at the same time talking about what's happening on the local front. We've got a break for just a moment. When we return, I'm going to move over to the national scene. We'll take a look at the headlines today in the national sports front. A little bit of a different order today here on Drive Time Sports. National Sports Talk coming up when we return right here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. We are live from the Auto Farm Studios.
Hey, what's going on? This is Ron Artest, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan. Listen, you must... Say it again. Buscarini. All right. Jordan Buscarini. All right. With Jordan Buscarini. Shout out to Queensbridge, you already know.
Coming to you live from Price.
Put that cookie down.
Price, Utah.
Now.
Me and my man, Trav. love Price. Price is awesome.
Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini and Travis Anderson on KOAL AM 750, Eastern Utah's main source for local sporting news.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM and 7.50 AM. I want to talk some of the national sports headlines, what we have going on right now. This news broke last night at about, 6:30. The New York Jets have their new football coach, and it's not Mike McCarthy. It's Adam Gase. And I think for the longest time it was a foregone conclusion that it would be Mike McCarthy. And Jet fans were excited about that. Last night when the news was announced, Jet fans seemed to take to the offense on social media because Dolphin fans were poking fun at the Jets. And I'm just going to say this right now, the Jets got it right. I think there's only been one team so far that hasn't gotten it right, and that's the Arizona Cardinals going with Cliff Kingsbury. The Jets get it right. Dolphin fans can say whatever they want about Adam Gase. Say whatever you want. The front office has set this franchise up to fail over the past 5 years. It's not Adam Gase. It wasn't Adam Gase that gave Ndamukong Suh a ridiculous contract. All right. Adam Gase has done some really good things with the Miami Dolphins. He did take him to the playoffs once. And when they went to the playoffs, you take a look at the overall, take a look at the structure of this team. Take a look at the players that Adam Gase has managed to progress. To me, coaching, especially with a young team, you have to take a look at progression. And I think Ryan Tannehill is fine when Ryan Tannehill is healthy, because Adam Gase is a terrific offensive play caller. But you're only as good as the personnel that you have out there on the field. And the front office in Miami failed Adam Gase. Adam Gase is one of the most highly respected head coaches in the NFL. You will be hard-pressed to find an NFL exec say anything negative about this guy. He's a smart mind. He's going to be extra motivated now that he's going to New York. And he's going to get a shot at the Dolphins a couple of times a year. Has a tremendous track record against Bill Belichick of the Patriots for whatever reason. And I believe the Jets, and I think the Jets, I think it's a very attractive job based on how much money the Jets have to spend. I love the hire. I love the fact that Sam Darnold, who I think is the real deal, and it pains me to say that because he's a USC guy, but he's the real deal, and I think that you are going to see a different kind of Sam Darnold. He applauds this. He applauds it because he sees what... Look, Jay Cutler rolled out of bed and became a productive quarterback under Adam Gase last season. Sam Darnold knows exactly what kind of coach he is getting, and it's a very good coach, and he knows this. And it's an offensive-minded guy, and the Jets haven't done this in a very long time. I like the hire. I like the hire an awful lot for the Jets. Other reasons why I like the fact that Adam Gase is now the head coach in New York and why Jet fans should be smiling. Get a load of this record in close games. The Jets were awful under Todd Bowles in close games. They were 13-21, and by close games, I'm talking 8 points or less, because that's one possession. Miami was pretty good. They were 20-6. His teams were good at closing out, too. According to ESPN, this is another stat, the Dolphins had a plus 10-point differential in the final 5 minutes of the fourth quarter, which was 12th in the NFL. The Jets, over the last 3 years, had a minus 90 differential, which was the worst in the league. The Jets have been close in a lot of games, and I've always thought the Jets underperformed under Todd Bowles. Again, I don't know that the front office put him in a situation to succeed, but they have a lot of money. They're going to be able to spend it. They'll spend it wisely. I think if you go out and you grab someone like a Le'Veon Bell, it's going to make this an even greater hire. I'm all for it. Another reason why Adam Gase is the right guy, and I've already mentioned this as well, Sam Darnold approves. And he's going to be extremely motivated. And he's well-respected throughout the NFL circuit. It's a great hire for the Jets. Some other news coming out of the NFL, and if you're a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, you don't want to hear this. Tony, Antonio Brown's done in Pittsburgh. It looks as if he may, in fact, be gone before camp next season. When Art Rooney speaks, you listen, right? And Art Rooney II was doing an interview with the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, and he was asked about the Antonio Brown situation, and this is what he said. There's not much we can do right now. We have time to make a decision. We'll look at all the options. We're not going to release him. That's not on the table. But I will say all other options are on the table. You know what that means? They're going to trade him. And they have to trade him. And the reason they have to trade him is because they did not trade Le'Veon Bell. And by not trading Bell and not giving him the contract that he wanted, you lose him for nothing. You can't do that with Antonio Brown. This will set the franchise back monumentally. Take the cap hit, eat the dead money, trade him. You have to get something for him. You have an aging quarterback in Ben Roethlisberger. The window in Pittsburgh is closing little by little. You do not have the time. You do not have the time to release Antonio Brown to save money. NFL is rarely built on free agency. You've seen some teams do it. A lot of them have to work the trade wire if they're going to rely on free agency. Pittsburgh doesn't have that timetable. And that's another reason, and I've said this before, and I know it's horrible for Steeler fans. You don't want to hear it. It may be time to tear it down and build from scratch. And I do believe that this is relatable to Ben Roethlisberger. I do not believe he will ever start another playoff game in a Steelers uniform. Start. I just don't think it happens. He's not a leader. I don't think he's a good teammate. And that boils over at some point in time. You had Bell, Roethlisberger, and Brown, and at one point in time, it was the most potent offensive core in the NFL. It's not the case anymore. You have lost two out of those three. May still have a terrific offensive line, but if you lose two out of those three and the last you have is an aging Ben Roethlisberger, I don't like your chances. I don't like it at all. James Conner looked great at times this season. He's not Le'Veon Bell. Juju Smith-Schuster is going to be great. He's not Antonio Brown. This is bad news for the Pittsburgh Steelers, but I think it's inevitable. You have to trade Antonio Brown at some point in time. So some storylines coming out of the NFL today. We could talk about these all show long. I do have to break one last time for a quick commercial. When we return, we'll put the final touches. We'll talk about tonight's contest coming up here on KOAL. The Emory Lady Spartans will go toe-to-toe with the North Stampede Hawks. That's coming up next when we return right here on Drive Time Sports.
Live from the KOAL newsroom in Price, Utah, it's Drive Time Sports on 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
Take that for data.
Back to close out this Thursday edition of Drive Time Sports right here on KOAL 107.3 FM, 750 AM. Talking about some of the other national headlines we haven't touched on yet. We'll go to the baseball diamond. Free agency signing. It's not Bryce Harper. It's not Manny Machado. But former Oakland A's man Jed Lowrie has reached a two-year, $20 million deal with the New York Mets. I like this signing a lot. That's versatility. He's a veteran. And the Mets have done everything they can to load up in what's going to be a very competitive National League East. Lowry's only 34 years old, coming off one of the best years of his career. I think he went yard 23 times, had 99 RBIs, 78 walks. And the A's were fun. They were one of the funnest teams in the league to watch last year. The two teams I enjoyed most, I guess under the radar teams, teams that I wouldn't typically have watched last year. In the AL, it was absolutely Oakland, and in the NL, it was Atlanta, and I like what both teams have done this offseason. The Mets, when you take a look at the other moves to surround Lowry, well, they acquired Robbie Cano, so you're going to put him at second base. Todd Frazier is going to be at third base. You got Jeff McNeil for a utility role. To me, it works. Also, don't forget they went out and they got Edwin Diaz, and they bring back Familia as well. So I think the Mets have done some work this offseason. I like it a lot. Keon Broxton is another guy that they traded for. He's got some speed you can use on the base pads. I like it. If you're a Mets fan, you got to be happy with the fact that this team is trying to compete. That's a great sign. And while the reports are surfacing that Bryce Harper and Manny Machado may be close to signing, I still don't know if there's really any news that can tilt the scale one way or the other. To me, Bryce Harper either signs with Washington on a 10-year, $350 million deal, or he goes to LA on like a 4-year deal. Manny Machado, it just seems more and more likely to me, he's either going to be wearing pinstripes in New York or he's going to go to the White Sox. He's going back to the AL. And he's not Johnny Hustle, so he could just DH. That would work out perfect for him. He says he's not Johnny Hustle, by the way. I'm not taking a shot at him. So some Major League Baseball news and notes. Hey, coming up tonight right here on KOAL, we have Emory High School basketball. The Lady Spartans are going to return to the court. They will take on the North Stampede Hawks. Emory's girls basketball team has been so dominant this season. The lack of competition is somewhat staggering. Now, I think that will change when we get to the 3A state championship tournament. There's obviously a lot that could happen between now and then. But right now, this division for the Lady Spartans, I mean, it's a clear region championship path for this squad. So far this season, they have outscored teams in league play 203 to 109. That's 94 points they've outscored opponents in three games. Overall for the season, in 12 games, they've outscored their opponents 792 to 437. And three starters on this team have already signed to play college basketball next year. It's a special group. It's a special group of girls. Right now in the Region 15 standing, San Juan is unbeaten at 2-0, and then he got Emory at 3-0. Other undefeated teams in division play throughout the 3A classification. Carbon is the only team unbeaten in Region 14 at 5-0. And the Lady Dinos, if they beat Delta once again, they're going to run away with that division. And then in Region 13, Grantsville and Morgan are still unbeaten, but there's only five teams in that division. So the play is extremely small early on. They're both 1-0. But tonight, the Emory Lady Spartans, they'll take the court against North San Pete. Start time for that contest is set for 7 o'clock. Live coverage will begin at 6:30. During the pregame show tonight, you're going to hear from Coach Lynn Tuttle, and we'll also catch up with Megan Jensen as well, senior on this year's squad who was signed with UVU. Again, live coverage coming up tonight at 6:30 p.m. Always a pleasure to have you join me for the afternoon drive. I always look forward to it. Tomorrow, we're going to talk NFL football. We'll preview the divisional round, and we'll also catch up with head coach Jeff Cincinnatus of the Carbon High School baseball team. We'll get an update on the baseball field construction, and also open gyms. It's already underway. We're not that far off from high school baseball, so that'll be on the show tomorrow. I want to thank Cody Bunderson and also Coach Kyle Wilson for making time. I'm Jordan Buscarini signing off from the Auto Farm Studios. Be safe. I'm out.